Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 5, Text 29. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam nyatva mang shantim richati. Lord Krishna said, a person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches how we can attain peace and happiness. And in this verse, particularly, he very clearly states that there are just 3 points which need to be understood so that each person individually and the whole of human society can attain peace. And as Lord Krishna states elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Ashantasya Kutas Sukham, rhetorical question, that without peace, where is there happiness? We must have peace, otherwise we cannot be happy. And everyone wants to be happy. Every living being, not only the human beings, even the animals, they all desire happiness. Even the plants. If you put the plant, the house plant on the ledge, it will grow towards the sunlight. That means that the plant in its very restricted consciousness feels that I want to be in the light. So every living being has the propensity to want to be happy. And even someone who commits suicide, they misguidedly do so because they think that I shall be more happy by doing so than by living. So everyone wants happiness. Arjuna, he was asking Krishna, that why should we have to fight? I don't think that any good can come from this. Good, what is the meaning of good? Good means a situation in which everyone can be happy. That is the highest benefit for everyone. And Lord Krishna explains the peace formula in this verse. Just 3 things to be understood, but they are revolutionary. And most people don't want to accept them because they have a perverted idea of what is happiness. The first point Krishna says here in this verse, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam, that Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all yajñas, which means sacrifices, and tapasam, all austerities. So, yajña and tapasya, these are sacrifices and austerities. These are 2 major parts of Vedic culture that people perform sacrifices and austerities. But in terms of modern day life or day-to-day life, we can say yajna or sacrifice means any endeavor and the difficulties that are undertaken to execute that. Actually, Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. So this first point to be understood, that everyone, every living being in this material world desires happiness. But we mistakenly consider that we shall get happiness by enjoying myself. I shall make myself happy. And especially in the modern age where there's no sense of duty to others, just everyone is trying to be happy by the senses. Eat all different foods and have sex left, right and center like pigs and dogs and get more money for yourself. It's I, me and mine, the Ahamamati society. Just everyone for himself. So in the modern age, people have more opportunity than ever previously in history, at least in the modern history we have recorded the last 2,000-3,000 years, something like that. But the modern society has evolved on the premise that everyone should have as much possibility or opportunity to engage in sense gratification, eating, sleeping, having sex, all these different activities. But at the same time, we see that modern society is more confused than at any time in history, and there's more mental disease, and people are not happy. People are not peaceful. We have so many modern contraptions in the modern age, but the most advanced technological contraptions are those for killing other people. This is our progress. So human society has developed so much technologically, but our consciousness has not developed. In consciousness, we're like the dogs and the cats. So our so-called progressive modern human society, the main center is sex. Gross sex life. Sex life that should be for production of good children. But in the, just look, internet. This whole internet was developed, so much technology, so much good brains went into developing it. And what's the main use of the internet? Pornography. Dog consciousness, pig consciousness. So this so-called progress, we're just becoming degraded because we don't understand that we are meant for serving God. We're not supposed to live like sophisticated animals with no higher sense of duty or morals. And above all, to understand that He is the enjoyer. Now, when we say, or when Krishna says that He is the enjoyer, what does that mean? Krishna is not a degraded, foolish person like ourselves. His enjoyment is transcendental enjoyment. That is an exchange of pure love, of which we have no idea in this material condition. What we call love in this material world is simply an excuse for wanting to exploit others. There's no actual love in this material world. Love means love for Krishna. As long as we don't understand that we are eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, servant of Krishna, our endeavors to love in this material world will always be frustrated. So we should understand that everything is meant for the transcendental pleasure of Krishna, and that is the spiritual world. There is a spiritual world beyond this miserable material world where everything is temporary. We want to love, but our love is thwarted. We want to live eternally, but time takes us away. We're forced to die. There is this spiritual world where everything is eternal and full of bliss and full of transcendental knowledge. And Krishna lives there, and all His pure devotees live there, and there's no death. And everyone is simply thinking how to love Krishna, how to make Krishna happy. So in this material world, we can qualify ourselves to go to that spiritual world simply by understanding that everything we do is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna is very easy to please. He's not a difficult taskmaster, as He will describe later in Bhagavad Gita. If we offer Him with love, Krishna wants our love. If we offer Him with genuine love, leaf, flower, patrang, pushpang, palang, toyang, fruit, water, Krishna will very kindly accept it. Krishna is not a nasty person. He is the supreme, loving, merciful Lord. He is wants our love. But if we don't offer our love to Krishna, then we'll offer our love to our country, what we call love, to our dog, to our girlfriend, and then one girlfriend, another boyfriend, and it goes on and on and on. But the real center of love is Krishna. This point to be understood. It seems like a small point, but it actually requires a revolution in consciousness. Because everything we do, we're simply thinking, what can I get for me? Even when we pretend to be nice to others, it's only because we want to get something back from them. Love of Krishna is a completely different proposition in which the devotee gives himself fully to Krishna with full faith that Krishna is my protector, Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna will look after me in all respects. And even if Krishna wants to crush me, not that Krishna ever does want to crush us, but the devotee is fully subservient to Krishna. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Krishna is the controller of all the different planets. We're trying to be the controller. We think, I am the owner. This is my business. This is my property. This is my house. This is my car. This is my wife. Nothing belongs to us. We're all thieves. As long as we're thinking, this is mine, we're all thieves, because everything belongs to Krishna. We may be given something by him, but that we should use in his service. Just like you're sitting watching your TV, and I'm sitting, you can't see it, but I'm sitting looking at a TV camera. And this camera is pretty expensive. That money that was used to purchase that camera that's being used, that could be used for anything else, but it's being used, the high amount of money that was used to purchase this, it's being used for giving information about Krishna. So this is the proper use of everything. Everything should be used for Krishna. Don't think anything is mine. The richest man in the world leaves this world the same way that he came to this world and the same way that the poorest man leaves this world, with nothing. When we leave this world, we may have millions of dollars, but we leave with nothing in our hands. The only thing that goes with us is our karmic reaction. Or if we've developed bhakti for Krishna, that also goes with us. In other words, our activities, our thoughts, that is our bank balance for our future life. So don't think that anything belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. He may give us something, but we should use it in his service and not think that it is meant for my enjoyment. This is a thief's mentality. And Krishna, suhridam sarvabhutanam, Krishna is the friend of all living beings. That means that Krishna loves, it's not that Krishna loves some particular section of people and others not. It's not that Krishna loves Indians and he doesn't like Pakistanis. It's not that Krishna or God, he has the Jews as his special people and no one else is very special, or that he likes the Brahmanas and not others, or that he likes the Christians and everyone else should burn in hell, or any such thing. These are all very restricted ideas that God is favorable to any particular section of people. Krishna loves not only every living being, every jiva in a human body, but he also loves all the living beings. Not only in the human body is the Atma present, but Atma is present in all living beings, which is another reason why we should not whimsically kill animals for the pleasure of the tongue, because so much suffering is involved. Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna doesn't want that we shall kill our brothers in the animal forms of life. Krishna is Gopal, Govinda. He is the protector of the cows. So to kill the cows, or the goats, or the chickens, or whatever, just for the pleasure of the tongue, that is not pleasing to Krishna. And that will not bring peace in human society. It's a great dichotomy that the great nations of the world, they're going and fighting in other nations for the sake of establishing peace and justice and humanity and democracy, while in their own countries they're killing millions of animals daily in the slaughter hut. So how can there be peace in human society when we are making an atmosphere of violence. We don't see, we go in the shop and we purchase the meat. We don't, at least in the Western countries, everything goes on mechanically in the slaughterhouse, and you just see the piece of frozen meat in the shop. In India, the animal is slaughtered right there in the shop, and you see it being skinned in the shop, and there are millions of flies buzzing around it. But the animal, whether you see it being killed or not, is being killed. That is not pleasing to Krishna. He doesn't like that we shall inflict suffering on other living beings. Of course, even plants may be killed for eating, but mostly not, because the rice or the wheat, that plant, when it's harvested, it's already ripe. That means it's already dead, actually. And then the fruit you take from the tree, it doesn't kill the tree. The milk you take from the cow doesn't kill the cow. So, like this, the killing of animals, that is not going to bring... We cannot have peace in human society. As long as there is mass, wanton slaughter of animals. Another reason is that it breeds a karmic reaction. If we're killing animals, then we shall have to be killed. Mass slaughterhouses means that even without reason, nations will go to war. They will fight each other. Now terrorism. People are afraid of terrorism. It's horrible. With apparently innocent persons, they're just bombed. But who is innocent? Everyone is eating animals. And the consciousness that enters through that, the consciousness that it's all right to kill others. So if we kill an animal, then the next step is we'll kill a human being. So Krishna is the friend of all living beings. So don't kill other living beings when we don't need, it's not necessary. That's one thing. And another thing is that Krishna is the friend of all living beings means that we should not try to take his position. We should not try to usurp his position. Sometimes we think, oh, now I've become a great welfare worker. I'm donating so much money for helping the poor. But there are so many people who have helped the poor. And still the poor are there. There's some famous welfare worker in Calcutta. Everyone was lauding, done so much to help others, but still so many poor people. And another point is that they may be poor due to their present karmic situation, but who is rich in this life, they may be poor in the next life. And we are all poor because we all leave this world with as much money as we entered it. That means we enter with nothing in our hands. So whether one is rich or poor, or whether one is crippled or blind or whatever, what we really need to know is our relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, we have to suffer birth after birth after birth after birth in 8,400,000 species of life. So real welfare work means not, I will open hospitals, I will open schools so that everything can develop. But this is simply development in ignorance. If we don't understand that our relationship is with Krishna, this is the real purpose of human life. So opening such a school doesn't help such children. You have to give them knowledge by which they can get free from birth and death. That is actually helping others. If we want to become actually help human society, if we want to serve human society, then we have to know what is actually beneficial for them, and to give them some education whereby they can be in more ignorance and think that, oh, now I know so much, I've got a good job. This good job, there's no such thing as a good job. Good job means that you're working so hard and forgetting Krishna. What is the use? Of course, everyone has to do something, but if we don't remember Krishna, then our whole life is spoiled. This point we should understand. This Krishna consciousness is not a hobby or some means to pass the time. It is vital for all of us. Because of not understanding this, we can not gain peace nor happiness, neither individually, nor on the national level, nor on the international level. And now they're very busy traveling into space and they can go to Mars or whatever and make a big mess up there too. If they don't understand that everything is meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. He is the Supreme Controller. We should serve Him. So just these three lines of advice. Krishna is the Supreme Enjoyer. We should not endeavor to enjoy independently of Him. We should do everything for His pleasure. Point number two, that Krishna is the controller of everything. So we should stop trying to control and thinking I'm the big boss and just submit to His plan, become His humble servant. And point number three, Krishna is the friend of all living entities, so we should stop acting inimically to everyone, and we should act in a manner that is actually friendly to all. That means by preaching Krishna consciousness to others. So if these three points we understand, individually we can attain peace and happiness, and the whole of human society can attain peace and happiness. And if we don't understand this, we can have millions of planning commissions, we can elect different leaders, we can make different theses and political schemes and write books and have protests, and all this is completely useless. All the endeavors of welfare societies, all the endeavors of planning commissions, all the cheating and lies of politicians, it's all completely useless because we are simply floundering in ignorance of the actual fact that peace can only be attained by understanding that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the enjoyer of everything. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Lord and Master of everything, and that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme friend of all living beings, and that we are all His servants. That's all we need to know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.